afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Friday, June 1st, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy Friday, Melody.
Happy Friday. Welcome back. Happy June 1st. I can't wait until we get to the brevity is golden.
There you go. It's a special day today.
It is. So listeners, make sure you stay tuned. And we'll talk about that at the beginning of the third segment, I do believe. So let's go ahead and see what these nasty markets have done today for gold and silver. Let me bring up the update here. The New York spot price after market got gold down about $5, $1,294. Silver's down a couple pennies too at $16.47. Platinum's down too at $908. Palladium had a big day and it was up $16 at $1,008. So I'm not sure. I started investigating that at the last minute when I saw the big jump in palladium, and I'm not sure if that could be in somehow maybe a replacement metal or something in the tariffs with this. I'm not sure what type of impact that would have. So I'll look at that for next week and bring you up to date, or it could be just a fluke. The USDX today was up 0.22 at 94.22. Old Larry Kudlow's happy as pie today. Crude oil was down $1.45 at 65.59. Crude oil's up a buck and a half, down a buck and a half, up a buck and a half. It doesn't know which direction it wants to go. But when it moves, it moves. It's a big move, buck 45 at 65.59. The paper markets today, let me bring those up for you. You're looking at the Dow was up large today, $219 at 24,634. The NASDAQ was up 112 at 7,554. I was up a little over 1.5%. The S&P was up a little over 1%, 2,734. 10-year yield, that was up 0.07 at 2.90%. Pressure on the euro, mixed bag markets, Asian and European, nothing significant. Germany almost made it up a whole percentage point, and still a little uncertainty in the emotion for the fear and greed index. So I think it's just pretty much a week of ending out a three-day weekend. We had the Memorial Day weekend. Of course, we had a four-day work week, and I think we'll see gold back up going next week, and we certainly had a little bit of an impact with the payroll being up and unemployment down for the month of May. A quick look at the five most important numbers from today's jobs report. You had the payroll growth hit 223,000 for May. This is the highest level since February. Market expectations was 188,000. Of course, they'll revise these, but for now, for today, we'll give them 223,000 for May. The headline unemployment rate fell to 3.8%. This is the lowest reading since April of 2000. While the real rate, and the real rate, it includes the discouraged workers and the underemployed, that did drop to 7.6%, and that is the best since May of 2001. The hourly earnings rose 2.7%. That was in line with expectations, and that should be enough to convince the markets that the Fed's going to raise rates at least two more times in 2018, definite for June. I'm not sure, so sure they'll do it after June, because I think it's going to be an interesting fall. But for now, we'll take the markets looking at two more rate hikes in 2018. Full-time jobs rose an eye-popping 904,000 for the month, while part-time positions declined. I mean, do you think any of this makes sense?
No. in a word, I mean, it's
good grief.
It's a laugh of nervousness, I guess. But you know, it's you know, as you know, we've been scratching our head here for a long time, and you know, just being in this daily morass of bizarre news relative to especially what's going on with gold and silver, it's like, where are we? What planet do we live on? And because a lot of it just does not make sense. It is so, not only is it counterintuitive, I mean, it just sometimes really boggles the imagination. But as my good friend continues to tell me, it is what it is.
Until it isn't anymore.
Yep, and we've got to deal with it.
And the best way to deal with when it isn't is with gold and silver, ladies and gentlemen. How did everybody know we were going to get back to that point? But this is what they tell us. Full-time jobs rose and eye-popping. I don't know if we have the breakdown on what department that those jobs were created. Part-time positions declined 625,000. And I don't believe either one of those. Unemployment for blacks, that continues to decline.
Retail, construction, and healthcare were up, as we'll mention shortly.
Okay.
Surprisingly, retail.
Yeah, it is, considering you have every store out there closing their doors and, well, I guess online, but you did have consumer spending higher, but savings went down. So, you know, it's just, why don't you go on and finish up with the employment report?
Well, sure. I mean, May's strong employment report, you know, including a slightly better gain in wages, as you mentioned, signals the Fed is going to raise interest rates this month. And could even add another rate hike to its forecast this year. That's, you know, given a lot of the talk and the topsy-turviness in the markets, you know, the Fed and some change in Fed policymaking decisions, they could change their mind. But I think what'll be interesting, particularly, you know, we assume almost that the June rate increase of 0.25% is almost a done deal. There's going to be, you know, what, 5 more months until, you know, we get closer to Thanksgiving. By then it'll be post-midterm election. We'll have seen by then, what is going to crystallize with respect to, you know, some of these, a lot of these geopolitical events, with China, with the North Korean denuclearization talks, with Iran, not to mention what's going on with trade wars, if they're full-blown or averted, and a changeover in leadership in one or both houses in November, that could have an interesting effect on the markets. So the jury is out, obviously, about whether there'll be a fourth rate hike this year. But in any event, employers did create 223,000 new jobs in May, well above the 188,000 that you said were expected. Unemployment fell to 3.8. Wages grew to 2.7% year over year. That was a growth of 0.3%, a little better than the 0.2% that had been expected. Ward McCarthy, who's a CFO, actually he's a financial economist at Jefferies, said hourly earnings are good. The Fed was going to go ahead anyway, this month that is, but it certainly reduces the arguments of those that don't want to go. Now, the number of unemployed fell to 6.1 million, Melody, a figure that has dropped by 0.5 percentage point, or 772,000. This year. That, of course, does not include the so-called discouraged workers that you mentioned just a minute ago. Hiring trended up in a number of industries, including, surprisingly, retail, trade, healthcare, and construction.
Do you have the numbers for the retail? How many jobs were created?
Yeah, retail added 31,000. That's a category that we know has been weak as more and more shoppers have moved online. But that is probably the summer seasonal hirings at the big boxes, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, and other places. There were also additions of 29,000 in construction. Again, not surprising, as that has seasonal fluctuations. And another 29,000 in healthcare. I haven't looked below that number either.
I mean, that number is going to continue to rise as we see, you know, the baby boomers getting older and older in that area, just continuing to grow. So that's, you know, where a lot of the jobs, you know, they should have some big, although when you have robots doing surgeries and robots flipping patients in their hospital beds, you know, maybe not. Maybe that number won't grow.
I know. And, how about it?
Yeah, I mean, I did mention where I had a lady that I know here in Ocean City. She had surgery, and it was completed by a robot.
Isn't that amazing?
It truly is. And she said that she was scared to death. She was petrified that she was going to die. And the doctor says, no, we're going to be there watching, but, you know, the robot's going to be doing the computer's going to be doing the cutting and everything. So... very fast. It's fascinating.
Ugh, only as good as the underlying programming, I guess. So yeah, I hopefully it's...
I'm glad those programmers are better than I am on the computer.
Yeah, gotta hope that it's perfected by the time the bot is manipulating that scalpel on you.
Well, you know, we talked a lot about these tarots for the past couple of days. You were gone, and we had Butch Paul sitting in. We did talk about tarots, and I think it's something that we need to, you know, each day it gets a little different. Each day it adds a little more to, you know, the theories behind the tariffs and how possibly these tariffs could reduce the impact of tax cuts. And so you could have the American family paying a little bit higher prices, eliminating the tax cuts that they got. Higher prices will result directly from tariffs. You know, with the that was imposed on the steel and aluminum imports for Canada, Mexico, and the European Union, as well as other countries. The White House acknowledges that effect while arguing the price increases will be tiny. But combined with additional tariffs against other imports from China and retaliatory steps from our trading partners, it could make a huge impact, as Trump had announced. Mainstream economists across the political spectrum, they kind of agree with it. It's going to be negative. A Republican economist, Douglas Holtz Eakin, he advised under the Bush administration, said that the only question is how big? How big will we be impacted? Anything that's manufactured, prices will rise, added Mark Zandi. And, of course, he is with Moody's Analytics. He's an independent economist. So the consensus out there is prices are going to rise. Zandi estimated that the net effects of trade conflicts that has been initiated by Trump at 0.2% and reduced economic growth, 250,000 in lost jobs and $210 in higher costs just for the average family.
Yeah, well, you know, that reduction in growth could wipe out, or actually that would wipe out half the projected boost in growth from the tax cuts that Congress enacted last December. You know, the president concedes his trade policies will cause, quote, a little pain. In fact, I don't know if you saw the interview or the weekend, Melody, with Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, who I think was caught in an answer that he hadn't thought about the consequences of, you know, when I forget the exact question, but you know, thought, well, you know, hey, you know, what impact is it going to have on growth? 1% maybe. Now, you know, if he meant 1% as opposed to 1 percentage point, you know, that's a big difference there. but certainly, you know, for an administration that had been touting last year growth of future growth of 4%, you know, this this little pain could be anything but. In any event, the administration insists that, you know, these tariffs are going to benefit our country. You know, how? By boosting domestic manufacturing. You know, particularly the building block products crucial to our economic growth and national security, I guess. You know, the administration argument, however, does collide with 21st century economic reality in a couple of ways. You know, first, the number one source of U.S. steel imports is Canada, the closest of our economic and national security allies. Justice Trudeau, Canada's prime minister, was indignant and noted Canada's cooperation, you know, among other crucial battles with us. He went back to the Normandy invasion and WW2, and then the next big three sources are, you know, are Brazil, South Korea, and Mexico, you know, our friendly trade partners and allies. Second, as past tariff experiences have shown, jobs lost in industries that pay more for steel and aluminum inputs, like, you know, automakers, beer cans, are going to far outnumber those gained from tariff protection for steel and aluminum manufacturing. And third, counter tariffs by our trading partners, boy, they could really damage certain sectors of our export economy, such as agriculture. Exports that, interestingly and, you know, ironically, disproportionately benefit Trump-allied heartland states represented by fellow Republicans. You know, in fact, Ben Sasse of Nebraska just observed simply, "This is dumb," he said. And Holtz Eakin, who's a former director of the Congressional Budget Office, said the arithmetic could get worse. In the name of national security, you know, there's a question now of, you know, whether the administration is going to slap 25% tariffs on certain imported cars. Germany, for example, some in the administration, the president himself has been reportedly talking about limiting or eliminating German cars, BMWs, Mercedes-Benz, and so on. Melody.
You know, I was reading, we're just about ready to go into a break, and I was reading the Lombardi letter, and it's an okay letter. Sometimes there's great info in there, and he's talking about that with these tariffs that Trump is really gambling. And he says President Trump may have calculated that the legal reprisals likely favor the EU, Mexico, and Canada, and various international organizations like the WTO. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about this before we go on to our next topic. When we return from these few short messages, please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, here with my co-host Dave Allen.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Sign up for a weekly newsletter. And you can listen to the archives of the program on a long-term basis. So just go to the radio page, and you can also listen to the program live. But most of all, for all your gold and silver coin needs, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I do believe next week we're going to be back on track. I think all this little flurry of, you know, I think we have to get North Korea done or whatever after June 12th. I think everything's going to be focused on that, Dave.
We'll see.
12 days.
It should be. We have an interesting story in the next segment about that involves the opening of a U.S. building in Taipei, Taiwan, that just happens to be scheduled for June 12th. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that. Just an interesting coincidence, unless, like some of us here on the air, you're not so sure that coincidences exist in the geopolitical scale of things.
Well, let's go ahead and move on to the brevity is golden. And we'll be touching on these tariffs and trade. And Dave and I were talking during the break, and we were talking about how, you know, well, I was talking about prior to the break that, you know, is Trump gambling? You're going to have the World Trade Organization that's going to be supporting these other countries. These countries, you know, now they're looked at, actually, they can't be looked at anymore. Can they be looked at anymore as an ally? Because we're saying that these tariffs are needed as security. They're a security threat. So,
yeah.
So
I mean, it's a big risk.
Yeah. I think we can all agree that, well, the, you know, some might question the use of big, but in many ways it is a big risk. Even if, as has been suggested by some, that you know, Trump and the administration's imposition of the tariffs is strictly or largely a negotiating tactic. There's a lot of risk inherent in that, particularly now as we see some of our closest allies coalesce potentially with China in some cases against us, and you know, a lot of our natural alliances. So, but you know, in certain circles, there's a great excitement about today's date, Melody. You know, we won't see its like again for another century.
Another century?
How about that? Now, what makes today so special, you might ask? June 1, 2018? Well, the European version, 1618. That lines up with the first four digits of the golden ratio. You know, that's a mathematical constant that's roughly equal to 1.618, and is commonly noted by the Greek letter phi. And that looks something like the letter P, but with an extra loop on the left-hand side of, you know, the part going up and down. So why celebrate Phi Day or the golden ratio? Well, consider some of these wonderful things the golden ratio has to offer. The golden ratio is the proportion that arises when we cut a line into two parts so that the ratio of the whole length to the long part is equal to the ratio of the length of the two parts. Now, you know, I guess maybe it helps to be a little math geek or physics geek, or, you know, you had to have you know, exceeded in geometry to you know, understand it, much less appreciate it. I'm not sure I do either. But, you know, many find those sorts of proportions aesthetically pleasing. Le Corbusier, for example, a Frenchman, based his system of architecture on these ratios. And they may also have figured into the design of the Greek Parthenon. And mathematically, the golden ratio is cool because it's the only positive number that you get it square if you add 1 to it. 1 plus 1.618 equals 2.618. That's the same melody as 1.618 squared.
Okay.
Isn't this cool? This is great. But that's not all.
It's not?
Golden ratio.
Come
no,
on.
It's found
there
in
can't
nature
be more.
Everywhere.
There can't be more of this.
I'm telling you, from monocle shells to magnetic resonance to the atomic scale. It's amazing. Perhaps, you know, prefiguring this, Luca Pacioli, he's a Renaissance era forefather of modern accounting. Some of you may have, a lot of you, at least, well, in the Northeast, if you buy tickets online, you probably go through a Pacioli ticketing system. You know, he described divine significance to the golden ratio. You know, now, the ratio is also linked to a famous sequence attributed to Fibonacci, the great Italian. If you start with 1 and 1, and generate a series of numbers by adding the most recent 2 together to get the next. And this is hard to listen to without being able to visualize it. So maybe we'll put this on our Facebook page. You know, 1 and 1, you get 2. All right, 1 plus 1 is 2. And then you add to the 2 the previous number 1 to get 3. And then to get 2, you get 5 and so on and so forth, you know.
Got it.
Yeah, there you go.
Got
like
it.
233 and 377.
Go to the Facebook page, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. There you go. Is this overstaying its welcome? You know? So, I mean, bottom line, how should we celebrate a golden day like this? You know, I guess it's probably too late to plan a trip to the Golden State, unless you live there. But you can still chow down on some golden delicious apples, golden grams, if you don't mind a late breakfast, or golden rice. Or you could listen to some golden oldies. But Melody, better yet, and here's the part that you're going to like, you can buy some gold to add to your portfolio. Call Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Our team is standing by to help. That's 1-800-375-4188. Whatever you do, folks, make it count. There won't be another day this golden until 2118. And Melody, this is this week's Brevity is Golden.
You know, it's interesting, you know, because everybody says, oh, you don't want to, but it goes to show you just how important gold is, because they called this, you know, the golden ratio. It goes back, you know, hundreds and, you know,
yeah,
to where these equations. Do you think they're just going to change the golden ratio to the fiat ratio? No, but, you know. So, no, ladies and gentlemen, gold is here to stay. Everyone knows it. And the only ones who don't know it are the ones who believe the propaganda that is passed around on a daily basis, anywhere from financial economists to financial planners to government and to like Larry Kudlow, my favorite Trump's economic advisor, who loves a strong dollar and really doesn't, you know, I'm not a fan of his, I think, as most know. But anyway, 800-375-4188. Thanks, Dave. That was interesting. Another 100 years.
There you go. You don't have to deal with it again until then.
All right. Well, we have Fed Governor Brainard. He embraces a little more hawkish stance. He's long been considered a dovish member of the Fed, of the central bank's policy committee, and now yesterday he came out and he embraced a little bit more of a hawkish policy. He was did a speech to the Forecasters Club in New York, and Brainard backed gradual rate hikes that would eventually move into moderately restrictive territory. Brainard said the Trump tax cut and higher federal spending is going to reinforce above-trend growth. This outlook suggests a policy path that moves gradually from modestly accommodative today to neutral, and after some time, modestly above neutral. And, you know, these Federal Reserve heads just are out there speaking, and they don't know what's going to happen. You know, they have a path, they have a plan, that they do, but you know, they're only looking at the latest Fed forecast in March showed that these Fed officials expected the federal funds rate to peak at 3.4% in 2020, mm-hmm. and above the longer run neutral rate of 2.9%. So no, I think it's going to be much higher than 3.4% by 2020. But then again, if we go into a massive decline in our economy, they will cut rates. So indeed. It'll be back. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she also, or he, Brainard, mentioned not being bothered by Melody and I have been talking about, this flattening yield curve or an inverted yield curve, which is we've told listeners who didn't know, you know, has has foretold every recession since 1950. It doesn't happen right away, but it normally happens within a year. Well, you know, as of the close of business today, or near the close, the 10-year Treasury yield was 2.9%, the 2-year note 2.472, the 30-year yield was 3.051. It had been, it sort of reversed, the flattening that had been going on for the last month and a half has sort of stalled, I think temporarily. Again, we shall see. You know, it's interesting, Melody. I got a piece in the mail today from my former bank. I guess it forgot that I had switched banks, but it was a bright, flashy postcard that said, I forget exactly the question, but it's like, essentially, where do you save your money? And, you know, you turn it around, it was like, come to, you know, our bank. It's a big bank, big regional bank, said, and earn 2% on your investments. I had to crack up that they're finally, I guess, back to marketing their certificates of deposits now that rates have gotten up to a point where they think they can compete with other types of investments. But
well, I mean, the Feds are between a rock and a hard place. They're doomed if they raise it too high because, yeah, people will pull their money out of that stock market and then flash and slap it into a bank. But all these restrictions now coming off these banks, Lord knows what type of investments and that they're going to be created and mislead the people. And so we're right back to, you know, day one. So you raise those rates too high, you can't service the debt anymore. People will pull their money out of the stock market because they know. I think people would prefer to have their money at the bank than the stock market at this point. But yet they can't, you know, who wants 2%? So, I mean, it's the Fed is between a rock and a hard place. So is the economy.
We have a recommendation for a safer vault.
We do.
For your investments, don't we?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. We can do better than banks.
Absolutely we can. Gold and silver, ladies and gentlemen. And don't let anyone talk you out of selling your gold for another paper investment. Now's not the time to do it. You know, you're late to the party. You know, everything is reaching all-time highs. Why would anyone want to go into these paper markets now thinking that they're going to go higher? That this is, you know, some sort of, you know, I read someone where, was it perpetual motion only exists in space?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's good.
You know, so But here's something interesting. The U.S. has opened a criminal investigation into traders if they manipulated price in the $550 billion market for unsecured bonds issued by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The probe, parts of which were described by four people familiar with it, shows that the investigation by the Obama Justice Department into market manipulation by bank traders are continuing under President Donald Trump. The Obama administration secured billions of dollars in settlements and criminal charges tied to the rigging of currency markets and benchmark interest rates. The latest inquiry is in its early stages and focuses on whether traders at banks coordinated with one another in order to benefit the institutions they worked for. So they're looking for fraud. They're looking for antitrust violations, the identity of the banks under scrutiny. Of course, they wouldn't say. Do you think it's Deutsche Bank and it's probably Citibank? And which other ones do you want to include in there?
Wells Fargo.
Yeah, Wells Fargo. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Fannie and Freddie are known for pooling their home mortgages into securities, part of a government-backed effort to finance Americans' home purchases. These securities aren't what has attracted investors. Authorities are looking for secondary trading in unsecured bonds that were issued by both of these companies by themselves.
Yeah, the debt that's issued by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac is known in the market as agencies, federal agencies, but agencies. That's often traded by desks that these investment banks that handle government bonds. Prosecutors from the Department of Justice Antitrust Division and the Criminal Division, they're working together on this investigation, apparently. Antitrust lawyers focus on collusion to fix prices. There's that C word again. C words have been in the news a lot this week. While the criminal
please don't name them.
Oh my gosh! No, let's get that out of our minds right now. I'm so sorry for even bringing it up. You know, the criminal division there is responsible for prosecuting fraud charges. You know, the biggest holders of Fannie and Freddie agency notes in. You know, our institutional investors like Vanguard, BlackRock, as well as public entities like, you know, the Fed and states like Maryland and Florida. Now, it's unclear whether the investigation is going to lead to any prosecutions. We know how it went back in after the Great Recession, Melody. There were some modest to moderate fines here and there. You know, the prosecutions were typically... lower level people, no major arrests, and certainly no prison for the big players. We'll see what happens in this case. Report back to listeners as we learn of more.
Poor old Bernie Madoff, he was the only one that got to jail, and they all knew what he was doing, except maybe even his clients probably knew. But anyway, that's another day, another story. We'll be right back after these few short messages.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. It is Friday, June 1st, and let's move on. We have the big news, the headline news, the breaking news is the top envoy from North Korea leader Kim Jong-un arrived at the White House today to meet with President Trump. I guess he was in New York yesterday, and he visited with Pompeo. I guess they had dinner last night. This is the first visit by a key official from the isolated country to Washington in at least 18 years. Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-chol. He's a former North Korean spy chief. Just who you'd want to send.
Friend of Vladimir's.
Yes. Who has been involved in decades of nuclear talks is in D.C. to hand deliver a letter to Trump and from the North Korean leader. And he was greeted by the White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly, who together with CIA Korea Chief Andy Kim led the official into the White House diplomatic reception room, then along the colonnade and past the Rose Garden to the Oval Office.
Yeah, we did see that Kim Jong-chol in meeting with Mike Pompeo, who said the two sides made real progress, but of course couldn't offer any specifics. The lack of details served to highlight this tenuous nature of, you know, our attempt at rapprochement with North Korea. The U.S. Trump administration insists that North Korea must give up all its nuclear weapons before it can shed its status as a rogue state or to get any relief from a crushing sanctions program. North Korean has balked at the idea, and it's not all clear the two sides are going to be able to bridge their differences enough for a meeting between Trump and Kim to be deemed a success. But hey, we're talking, and that's almost always, not always, but almost always a good thing.
He has yet to read the letter. Well, this was around 3 o'clock that was brought to him, and the official said that Trump could read it later. And President Trump said that the meeting is back on for June 12th. Trump said his June 12th meeting will be a beginning. The process will begin on June 12th in Singapore.
That's setting a more realistic expectation, I think. Don't you agree?
I agree. To think that it was going to be done on June 12th and things signed and everything, of course not. But the big thing, I guess, from everyone is talking about and everyone's opinion is the denuclearization.
Yeah. Yep. Whatever that means, I guess.
Whatever that means.
Yep, that's to be determined.
And I'm sure he'll be promised that he'll be safe and secure. So it's just a matter of whether he ends up believing that or not.
Yeah.
Yes. But what this is interesting, we have a chairman of a regional bank in China's northern city of Tianjin. He's found dead at his office. His wrists have been slit. Yang Jingbao, who has only chaired Tianjin Rural Commercial Bank for less than a year, died around 2 p.m. Saturday, which they're ahead of us a day. It was suspected suicide, but gave no further details. The bank did not immediately reply to the South China Morning Post request, and Chinese driver fell from... I'm not sure how Chinese driver...
That's a good question. We've been hacked.
We've been hacked, ladies and gentlemen. There's something in here that says a Chinese driver fell from the 8th floor room, but I'm not quite sure how that, that goes. But tell us about the bank to see why this is an interesting to report on.
Well, I mean, it's a big bank, Melody. I mean, according to its latest quarterly report, the bank had $47.7 billion in assets, yuan assets, at the end of the quarter. Last year, its revenues were down by 9.3% from 2016, but the bank's net profit rose 22%. This year, thanks to certain cost-cutting efforts, presumably imposed by Mr. Yin. You know, the Tianjin government-backed property firm may default as China's deleveraging campaign reaches the state-owned sector. Let's see, the Banker magazine is a British publication, rated the bank number 319 in its list of the world's top 1,000 banks last year. Don't know how that's how the rankings or what they're based on, if it's revenue or probably revenue, maybe assets. Yin's last public appearance before his death was reported at the end of March, when he visited a village bank in the northwestern part of that community. Of course, the death came at a time when there are growing signs of financial stress in that Chinese port city, which was once known reportedly as the poster child of rapid growth in China. So it's in and of itself, you know, I guess, again, it is what it is, but it does, you know, it's always when it's in a country such as China, you always wonder, you know, what kind of relationships this gentleman had with other elements in the country, with other countries perhaps in the West.
They whack them in China too.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, yeah. That's right. And, you know, the guy with both of his wrists slit, you know, it just, I guess it's possible, but.
Well, you know what's interesting? We were talking about North Korea, and there's something else that's happening on June 12th.
Yes.
And it's interesting because there's going to be a challenge, another diplomatic challenge in Asia, and that's the opening of a new office building in Taiwan. This is senior White House aides have been quietly weighing how they handle the June 12th opening of an office complex in Taipei that serves as a de facto U.S. embassy without enraging the Chinese government. Chinese officials have repeatedly signaled that any decision by the U.S. to include high-level officials, or even worse, a cabinet secretary in the delegation attending this ceremony, would be met with outrage from Beijing. So with less than 2 weeks to go before the event, the White House has not yet finalized the delegation. And this is according to people familiar with the planning, though it is expected to include at least one senior administration official. At one point last year, the White House considered sending former Human and Health Secretary Tom Price, who resigned in September amid a scandal over private jet travel. So now we have to pick somebody else.
That would be fitting.
The Taiwan question has taken an unexpected urgency amid the efforts to secure China's help in reaching a landmark denuclearization, again, agreement with North Korea. So the opening, June 12th, of the American Institute in Taiwan compound falls on the same day as the planned summit in Singapore between President Donald Trump and North Korea King Jong Maybe that's why this was off and on, you know. Because I didn't know this was happening. So
first I saw it today too. It's very interesting. Maybe they ought to just send Scott Pruitt. He probably hasn't been to Taiwan in a couple of months.
Maybe
you know, on our dime in particular. But this is, I mean, this raises, you know, a question again about, you know, our relationship with China. You know, that, you know, some in the administration and out of the administration are interested in you know, I guess, renewing a closer relationship to Taiwan. China has sort of laid down a red line, saying no, you know, so it's, you know, it's not just building opening, you know, it's a symbol of, you know, are we committed to China, to building a relationship with China, or aren't we, you know? And it's interesting, it's probably, you know, it's probably a clever, I mean, if not effective, tactic of China to, you know, frame it in that respect. You know, hey, if you want a long-term relationship with us, lay off of Taiwan, you know?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, too, because, I mean, it is. It's just a building. It's Taiwan. But it goes a little bit deeper, you know, with the relationship with Taiwan. And the State Department declined to comment on the status of the Taiwan delegation. So it questions why this is kept so secret.
Yeah.
You know, and is it just a building? I mean, you know,
an embassy is, or, you know, an embassy is almost never just an embassy. So I, you know.
Well, remember when the president was, I don't know if it was, I don't think it was Trump that was enraged. But I think it was, China was enraged because Trump took the congratulatory phone call.
Correct.
From the president of Taiwan.
Yes.
When he won the election. And that was breaking with precedent. So the call was the result of an intense lobbying campaign by the Taiwan allies. And of course, that included, I didn't even know he was still alive, Republican senator and presidential nominee Bob Dole. So, you know, again, there's a lot of things that are going on there that it all ties together. All ties together.
And, you know, while all this is going on, you know, we're reading, and we'll have to follow up on this next week, just China's growing presence in the South China Sea.
And
whether maybe some of this is, you know, bait and switch. It's got to be a lot of back and forth going on. We read today that earlier this week, you know, U.S. warship was sailing fairly close to some of the islands now occupied by the Chinese military. It's really interesting over there. But I mean, getting back to the Taiwan issue, you know, currently the U.S. maintains unofficial diplomatic ties to Taiwan through this so-called American Institute, which is in Taipei. That houses the State Department staffers and serves as the de facto industry embassy in that region. Now, the new American Institute building has been in the works for almost 10 years. And after years of delay, you know, lo and behold, the unveiling was scheduled for June 12th. You got to believe, we didn't learn from these articles, but you got to believe that the date of its unveiling was set in advance, if not far in advance, of the June 12th summit between the U.S. and North Korea, don't you think?
I would think, and I can't imagine why it would be a big deal to postpone it or something if it's going to create a situation with North Korea, but,
yeah.
You know, and well, I, but it is interesting.
Well, it is interesting. I guess further complicating the decision, you know, is our delegation. Well, you know, it hasn't been. We don't know who's going to represent the U.S., but the problematic part of it is that U.S. officials who visit Taiwan are no longer welcome in China. So I don't know if that's being negotiated now behind the scenes. You know, it could be that, you know, maybe they're going to end up with a lower level foreign service official who's going to end up having to be you know, a representative there, if in fact you know, Xi Jinping and the party you know, hold hard to their policy of not welcoming those kinds of visitors to mainland China.
Hmm. Well, moving on to the next, you know, we had a lot of uncertainty in Italy. We all know that's going to be good. It's going to be bad for the Eurozone, but it'll be good for gold. And we all know that May is usually a little weak for gold, although I didn't see that so much this month. It certainly wasn't like, and I remember going into the Great Recession of 2008, that was the difference. There was a report that came out in June, and there were no summer doldrums for gold at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm expecting that this year also. I don't think we're going to have the summer doldrums that we usually do in the precious metals, as everyone waits for the, you know, late summer rally that we see in anticipation of Diwali and the Indian wedding season, and as they love gold, as the Chinese love gold. And in the past, the fifth month has provided an attractive buying opportunity, and we're going to have to finish that because I hear the music. I thought we'd have time to finish that, but
good Lord.
But it went by fast, ladies and gentlemen. 800-375-4188. We'll be back on Monday, myself and Dave Allen. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
There seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.